Why don't you tell us how Dead Bouquet got started?
It all started in about 5 years ago. And I was alone at home with my 12-string guitar. And I always had a dream to have a trio, a rock trio. And then, it took a while to get the band complete. So the point of the moment where the band started really started was when I met Daniele Toti, the bass player, a fun guy, and we got started and we decided to record the album with Paul Kimball, because he's a great producer and a musician.
Yeah, you're talking about the Paul Kimball from Velvet Goldmine and Grantley Buffalo and so on and so forth, correct?
Yeah, he was the producer and the bass player from Grantley Buffalo, really cool American band from the 90s. And yes, of course, he produces some of the part of the Velvet Goldmine soundtrack. So he had the pleasure to work with Tom York and other big names of the business.
You're talking Tom York from Radiohead.
Yeah, Tom York from Radiohead.
Nice, nice. Now, another thing that kind of, this actually shows in As Far As I Know, which is your new album. Why don't you tell us who mastered that album and who that person's worked with? Because that's another person that's worthy of note.
Yeah, Joe Gestwirth. He's one of the finest mastering engineer in the whole world. And he's the favorite mastering engineer of Paul. So we decided to point on Joe. So I sent an email to him, and he listened to some of the tracks, and he was really excited about it. So we decided to master with Joe.
Now, Dead Bouquet officially has two members, correct? You, Carlo Mazzoli, and Daniele Toti on bass and background vocals?
Recently, we have found another member. So it's the new drummer, Alberto Croce. So now we are a trio, finally a trio.
Nice. Now, how do you get the sound for your album? Because, and I'm not talking about what Joe did, I'm talking about the layered texture sound that each song has. I mean, the songs are almost sonic artwork in a way. I mean, they I don't say this a lot about other music, but I mean, this is one of those albums that you could say is gorgeous.
Oh, thanks.
Now, how do you get that sound? I mean, was that a conscious decision, or was that built up organically in the studio as it went along?
It is a live album, so we played mostly at the same time. The 12-string guitar is pretty big. It's a very strong instrument, and Paul really knows how to treat the 12 string. So we decided to point everything on the 12 string, and that's how we get the sound you're talking about. And then, you know, there's the bass, there's the drums, and some vocals, some really cool backing vocals from Paul. and he's a master. But the band was really decided on about what to reach, where to go. We knew where to go in the studio. So yeah, there's a lot of Paul, but there's a lot of Dead Bouquet.
And the 12 string, I think, is an instrument, excuse me, that needs to make a comeback. I don't think it's used enough. I have a 12 string acoustic, a take of mine myself, and I love it. I think it's a gorgeous sounding instrument, even when played by itself.
Yeah, I only play 12 string, so I have an electric 12 string and two acoustics, and they are great instruments. Sometimes people think that the 12 string is a studio instrument just for recording, but they are wrong, because in the 60s and in the 70s the 12 string was really important. Just think about the Birds or some
Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, and
Yeah, the West Coast sound. Yeah, of course, it was really, really important in those years.
Now, do you think as a guitar player, never mind the fact that the strings are doubled and four of the strings are an octave apart, or four of the string pairs are an octave apart, but do you besides that, do you think it's affected your playing style? Because, well, number one, I know firsthand it's hard to do a string bend, but besides that, do you think it's kind of moved your guitar playing in a different direction than if you had stayed on six string acoustic or electric?
It's been a long time since I played six string acoustics. So for me, it's quite difficult to approach to the six string. It's kind of strange to say, but for me to play a 12 string is it's just a normal thing.
Now, being used to a 12 string, do you find when you hear a 6 string, do you find it sounds thin, like the actual sound and tone compared to a 12 string? Because a 12 string to me sounds naturally fat.
Of course, it is. It is wide. It has a wide sound and a big sound. When you play a 6 string, they are. Beautiful, both beautiful, but the 12 string maybe it has a wide range of frequencies and a stronger sound, especially when you're playing alone.
Exactly. Well, now, speaking of 12 string guitars, since that's your main instrument, what type of gear do you use, including your guitars?
The amplifier is a Fender Super Reverb. It's a great amplifier, and I have some pedal, for distortions, a delay. I'm not really a fan of the effect, so I just love to have some tremolo, some delay, and some distortion.
For ambience, basically.
Yeah.
Now, what is a 12 string sound distorted? I don't think I've ever heard that.
It's kind of strange. Yeah, it's like howling. It's like it's difficult to control when you're on stage, because it goes crazy with the feedback. But once you get the control, you get the control on the instrument, you find you can really find a way to make rock music in a strongest way, in the strongest possible way. And I use an instant mount pickup for the 12 string, and I plug it into the amplifier, and then I use some acoustic sound in the mixer. So I play with two sounds.
Oh, like a doubling effect, basically.
Yeah.
Nice. So, can you thrash out on a 12 string? Like, if you distort it, like, can you start playing Megadeth or anything like that?
The cool thing is that you can play with an acoustic sound and then with distorted sound. So you can play. You can start with a soft mood and then go really, really rock with distortion.
Nice. Now, getting to your album, as far as I know, when did you go in and record that, and what are your favorite tracks? Because I heard the whole album last night on Bandcamp, and that's why I came to the conclusion that this is gorgeous. And I heard the song Nobody's Sky three or four times, because I love the chord progressions in that. So how did you come up in the songwriting process? You know, like, how do you guys do it, basically?
It's really simple. It's like a singer-songwriter approach. I usually write all the songs. And for me, when I bring the song to the to rehearsal, the song must be complete. So I need to be really satisfied of the song. And then Daniele, the bass player, and Alberto start playing the song in their way, in their personal way. So it's really simple. It's like a songwriter playing with a band. We can Neil Young and Crazy Horse is like a good example.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, where every band member brings their own personality to what the songwriter brought to the studio.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, personally, what are your favorite songs and why? If you could pick your top three songs.
Top three. I really love A Night on a Red Sofa. Because I love the love songs. They are the most difficult to write. And that one is really intimate to me. And Stories, the last one, is a really good song. One of my best, I think. And Sur la Garonne, the one with the French name, I don't know the French language, but I had a girl in France, Bordeaux. So another love song, yeah.
Nice. Those songs, I mean, stick out of my head. I also love Little Thing, My Baby and I, and of course Nobody's Sky, like we were talking about. But you also made a video for Nobody's Sky. How did that come about, and where was it shot, and how did you come up with the concept?
About the concept, there's no really a concept. We just went to a mountain near Rome, and we started shooting. We tried to evocate something oniric, and you are on the top of the mountain, and it's simple to shoot at the sky, and I think the song speaks about freedom. And when you're on the top of a mountain, you can really talk about freedom. That's my point of view. So that's why we went to the to Monte Livata, Livata Mountain, and we shot the video.
I see. So it's about personal liberty then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Now, what is the music scene like in Rome? Because I know Dead Bouquet is a band based that's in Rome, but you never hear, like, from the stateside what the band scene or the music or indie scene is like in Rome. Because we're here, you know, inundated with the touristy stuff to go there, you know. But what is the band scene like?
It's not good. I have to be honest, because it's difficult for us to play in Rome and in the center of Italy. Probably the best places to play in Italy are in the north. We went to play in Switzerland and in France, and it was really, really good. We want to point everything on the European side, because in Italy it's really difficult to make music, especially if you are not in the you're not cool in that specific moment. There's no personality in the music scene in Italy. And that's a shame. It's not like in the USA or in England. Rock and roll is American born, so it's more simple for you to
see. Now, why is that though? Because I've interviewed a lot of Italian bands that I think are worthy of being global, your band included, and I think that, I mean, and if you think about it, Italy is like the seat of human culture. I mean, you go back 2,000 years and it was defining art, you know, and, you know, it defined music in the 1400s or 1500s to this day, you know. But like, you know, like you just said, I've heard a lot of Italian bands saying, yeah, the music scene sucks here. There's no place to play.
Yeah, Italy was really important in art. Long time ago, but now it's everything it's different, and art is in crisis, sorry, and no, there's no space, there's no possibilities for rock bands who sings in English to emerge. I sing in English because it's the international language. I always wanted to reach everything, everyone in the world. That was my dream when I was a kid. And I don't want to sing something only for a country or a state, you know.
Yeah, I see exactly what you're saying. Now, I have a few Italian friends that are musicians that are personal friends of mine, and I've asked them that same question that I asked you about places to play in Italy and the music scene in Italy, and I got kind of a weird answer from a couple of them, and I want to run it by you, and I want to see what your opinion is. And basically what they said was, right now, or for the last 10 years in Italy and Greece, and you know, is like this in a certain way, where you have the generation that's in power, you know, the 40, you know, the 35 to 55 year olds, and then you have the generation that's late teens to mid 20s, you know, that's up and coming, and there's like a culture shock in the middle where they don't understand each other, where you've got the people in power that don't pay heed to up and coming musicians or new music or anything new at all, because they're stuck in their ways at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And the internet is not it's not a solution, because it's true that you can reach the whole world in a few seconds, but there's a lot of music, too much music, and I know some people that plays music, but they could do anything else. That they can go, they can be actor, they can work in a laundry. I think that when you play music, the music must be part of you. It must be real. So internet sometimes makes this not possible, because you see and you hear, you listen to a lot of music, but you don't know if the music is real. I don't know if you get the point.
I think I understand what you're saying. It's because of oversaturation. There's too much music online now to choose from.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I totally get that. We like, I was talking to somebody this morning about that. We like, from our point of view, being a radio station, a magazine, and a network for inside musicians, we get hundreds of songs a day. So we've got a 6-month backlog, and then we've got to pick the best of the best, you know, to put on our networks. You know, but it's so time consuming because of the amount we get. And you know, another reason I think you're correct in that is not just because of the internet, but because equipment and computers and software are becoming cheaper and cheaper. Like Pro Tools, for example, is half the price it was, you know, 8 years ago.
Yeah. You can buy some stuff and make your album at home, but it's not the same. You need to work hard for your music. You need to live some really bad moments and make music when you're inspired. So when you have everything at home, when everything is simple, I think that the artist doesn't work right. Maybe I'm wrong, but you know, in the past, where this way was this way.
Now, saying that, what you just said made me think of something else too. What we're talking about now is basically, things are handed to us. Like you can make a decent recording studio out of an iPad now, you know, and you can buy a 99-cent app that will help you multitrack, you know. So things are getting handed to us faster and faster and in better quantities. The old days, we had to work for it. Cause I remember I was in a bands back in the 90s, and we had to bust ass just to get people into the club. You know, that was an all-day thing, you know, and I'm sure you know a little bit of what I'm talking about there. But yeah. But do you think maybe that goes back to the old proverb that to be a true artist or to be a good artist, that you have to suffer?
Yeah,
and I agree. And we now live in a world where artists don't have to suffer.
But maybe it's different. You know, it's not easy to say that, yeah, I suffer, you don't suffer. So the thing is that, okay, you make an album. If the album doesn't go in the right way, doesn't get the success, there is the point, because if you really love your music, you don't stop. People who doesn't love music, they stop.
Yeah, because they've judged that or came to the conclusion that, you know, amount of sales dictates the popularity.
Or they just change music. I know a lot of people who change constantly change music, their music. So it is not a good sign of personality.
Now, speaking of changing music, how do you picture Dead Bouquet evolving? Do you think 5 years from now you'll sound like you do now, or do you think you're going to do like a natural progression?
The second album is already written, and we are just jamming on the new songs, and it's quite different. It's the same approach, because as I already said, I'm a classic songwriter, so I bring the songs to the studio and we start playing. But the new songs are quite different, because there's some piano and other instruments, more electric guitars, but the 12 string is in the center of the whole album. Say in Italiano, sorry. And I really love the new songs. Maybe it's less rock than the previous one, as far as I know. But you don't know how it will be, because I don't think we can get to the studio. We can enter the studio before the next year. We need the money, you know.
Yeah, because you've got to promote this one yet, still too.
Yeah. So we need to get a lot of shows and sell some CDs and try to reach the budget for the second album. We already found the studio. It's a really cool studio with a lot of vintage instruments, like Fender Bass 6 and some from the 50s. Yeah. And some vibraphone. Really want to approach with other instruments, because as far as I know, as I said, it's a live album, and we mostly play our instruments. So I only use the 12 string, except two songs where I played a clean electric guitar, a Telecaster on a night on a red sofa, and a Dobro guitar on the Sur La Garonne. But everything else was the 12 string. So
wow, that's a rarity, but it does leave its signature on, as far as I know. I mean, I heard it throughout, you know, and it gives it a lush, fat sound.
Yeah, you know, Grant Lee Buffalo played in this way. The singer, Grant Lee Phillips, played a 12-string acoustic guitar, clean and distorted. So I just wanted to use his idea, because now he's not playing the 12-string anymore. So I thought that was a cool idea, and it's not common. So yeah, it's my language now.
Nice. Now, have you thought about, I don't know, I just thought of this, and tell me if this is a dumb idea, but I mean, have you thought about having Danielle switch to an 8 or a 12 string bass? I think that might sound good in comparison with the 12-string guitar.
Yeah, it could be. And the 12-string bass.
Yeah, well, I know a friend.
I didn't get the answer.
Well, I know a friend that has one, and it's basically four, you know, the four strings with three octaves. And it's the fattest thing I've ever heard, basically.
Are you talking? Sorry, I really can't understand.
Oh, the 12-string bass.
Ah, okay. So, well, it could be a chaos. No. Maybe. No, it's not a good idea for me.
Okay. Okay, just a thought. I've never heard a 12-string bass and a 12-string guitar together, so I wouldn't know what it would sound like. I just assume it would sound really big.
That could be a cool instrumental album, but I don't think they will leave space for the vocals and for the drums.
Yeah. You know? And they are a pain in the ass to play. Like, they are. It's really hard. You have to use a pick, basically.
Yeah.
So, yep. Now, what does Dead Bouquet have coming up? Like, are you going to go on tour, and where are you going to play, and what are you going to do?
At the moment, we are trying to get new shows, and we are talking about a new tour in Europe within October and November. We want to play in Belgium, in Germany, France, Switzerland, because in the center of Europe, there's a scene, a rock scene. So that's where we need to go if we want to make some. To reach some audience.
Okay. Yes. Yep. Now, have you thought about hopping the channel and going to the UK?
The UK, it's quite difficult, but we are trying to. We had a contact in Manchester, or Manchester, as they said. But I don't know if we can make it this year. I think that the next tour will be very important for the band. So maybe after the next tour, we can start thinking about going to the UK.
Nice. Now, where can we find Dead Bouquet online?
We use Facebook as the main page because it's simple and, you know, everyone is on Facebook. And we have a Bandcamp page and we have the SoundCloud page. So just check for Dead Bouquet and you will find us.
Nice. Do you have a Twitter or anything like that?
Yes, we have Twitter. And we don't use it very much. We are old school guys trying to make something with technology.